All right, our next presentation is by Alyssa Ghirardelli, and this is Scores for Stores, a unique scoring approach for communicating and evaluating store quality. And Alyssa is a research scientist with a network for a Healthy California. Ms. Ghirardelli is the lead researcher for Communities of Excellence in Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity Prevention, otherwise known as CX3. She also informs development and evaluation of statewide network media campaigns. She provides evaluation guidance to local nutrition coordinators and previously coordinated statewide surveillance.
Thank you, and we are going to stay in California for a little while, but we're going to shift gears and we're going to take a look at stores. I'm at the Department of Public Health, and the Network for Healthy California uses SNAP-Ed funding from the USDA. Let's see how I'm going to... Okay, and I don't have any relationships to disclose. So what we've been hearing over the past 5 or 6 years is that we're seeing more connections to where we live and what our environment looks like and how it informs our health. We're hearing terms like toxic environment, food deserts, food swamps, and the list is growing. The bottom line is that where you live really matters in terms of what you eat. And a neighborhood might be designed for disease, or it could be designed for promoting health. These are some of the images that we see in California and some of the neighborhoods where we take a look at the stores and how they're doing in terms of their availability and quality of foods. We're seeing a growing wave of EBT that is promoting things that maybe aren't so healthy. And sometimes we go into stores and we see some of these displays of fruits and vegetables that you probably really don't want to consume. So we're changing our mantra a little bit from you are what you eat to you are where you live. And because of all of the things that are connected to where you live in terms of chronic diseases and poor nutrition. So a little bit about CX3. CX3 stands for Communities of Excellence in Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity Prevention. So that's where the three comes from. And basically, we do a lot of data collection to inform program planning for our local health departments. So we train local health departments to go out and collect local, real-world data that can convey the neighborhood conditions. And we look at specifically low-income neighborhoods to activate those consumers to improve the food availability in those neighborhoods. We got started back in 2006, and we've worked with 25 health departments so far, and we've done some training of other health departments and reached about half the health departments in California. And they've gone out into neighborhoods and used our standardized tools and methods, and we've been in about 100 neighborhoods, or actually more than 100 neighborhoods now. So we're looking at nutrition in the broadest sense. We really want to understand how consumers are influenced by the food choices that are in their neighborhoods and in their environment. So we are asking questions like, are healthy food choices available and accessible to residents in low-income neighborhoods? And how many fast food outlets are in the neighborhood and around schools? What's the proportion of these fast food outlets to large grocery stores? And what are the types of nutrition marketing messages around schools and in the stores? And then we also take a look at the safety and walkability around stores. These are just a few things that we look at. The data is used to expose disparities, to determine resources for health departments in terms of their programming, to really get engaged with residents in making changes in these neighborhoods. The health departments do choose who's going to collect the data, and we have had a fair number of them that have community-based participatory research that's been going on, and so they're training residents to actually go out and collect the data, but it's up to them in terms of who they choose and to collect the data. We want them to use this real-world data to create healthier neighborhoods is the bottom line. to put it also in the hands of other people that can make changes, like city and county planners, redevelopment agencies, and to inform the general plan. And then also, because it's standardized tools and methods, they can use it for program evaluation. So they go out into the neighborhoods, take a look at what's in there, do 3 years of program implementation, and then they can go back out and see if there's been any changes. So the first level of this is we have them map their neighborhoods using an online mapping system. And then they determine which neighborhoods they want to go into based on this mapping exercise. And then they do field surveys, basically looking and doing a lot of observation in stores and food banks and fast food, like I talked about. And then they do another look at their health department and other community assets that they have. So the field surveys. Grocery stores are the big one. So they go out and they look at all types of different stores, look at availability and quality of fruits and vegetables, the new WIC food package, if they're putting signage out, what the prices are for fruits and vegetables, and the marketing of unhealthy and healthy cues to action. Like I said, walkability and safety around the stores, fast food, outdoor marketing, food banks, and alternative healthy food sources like farm stands and farmers markets. Well, there's kind of a problem with all this data collection because you get a lot of data, and health departments sometimes they're like, what do we do? Oh my gosh, we'll have all this data. So we came up, we started looking at it with them to help them to come up with a descriptive and easy way for them to compare and look at their data. Because there are lots of variations in the stores and what they look like and what they carry. You can see the differences in this stores with one with the beautiful fruits and vegetables in front of it and the other one with the bars and graffiti on it. So this is our store survey. We do have this online and we have had it tested for reliability. We take a look at the store type and a lot of other things, and I'll show you some of these elements that are part of that tool. We took the tool and we created algorithms in Excel, so it would be something that everybody could use at the local level, and constructed these algorithms to calculate scores from the raw data that they collect in the neighborhoods. Only positive conditions get points. We didn't want to remove points for things that we felt like were negative. We wanted people to have incentive to actually get better scores. We have a maximum of meet standards per category, and we have 100 points that the stores can get, and 75 would meet a quality standard. We really put a lot of emphasis on access and availability, and we worked really closely with health departments to determine the weighting for these scores. Because they had a lot of good perspective from being on the ground in the neighborhoods. And like I said, we did some reliability testing, and we've published on that as well. So this is the point structure for the stores. You can see that fruit availability and quality and vegetable availability and quality get the highest points. And some of the standards are a little bit different. We tried to keep them really at about 75 to 80% for meeting standards, but a lot of it depends on the points that are assigned. And so we may have one set of points for maximum and different meeting standards for another. So it's a little bit of tweaking that has had to go on for those meeting standards. The fruit and vegetable pricing is based on a county-level reasonable price comparison that we've come up with a way to develop that comparison price. So the prices that are collected in the field in the stores get compared to a county comparison price. We also have them also have other healthy foods. So a lot of the WIC food package items are in that section. We look at the nutrition information in the produce section if they're promoting fruits and vegetables, and the interior and exterior marketing, and the walkability and safety around the stores. So you can see on the right here, that's kind of the spreadsheet that comes out when we do all these calculations and we have the raw data that turns into the scores. But it's not really user-friendly for using in the neighborhood or with stakeholders. So we created a communications piece where the local health departments put their scores into the scorecard, and that is a really simple way to communicate their data. We have found that sometimes looks are deceptive. This is looks like a great produce market, but it only scored 47 points. So it's really important to look at actually what's inside these markets. This is a description of what our food stores look like in terms of the types. In California, it is dominated by small markets and convenience stores. There's a lot of them. So they're the majority of the samples that we've looked at. So looking at the store scores by store type, you can see on the left side, this is the supermarket. So the vast majority of them are meeting standards, as you could assume. And these are mostly chains, but there are some other supermarkets that are not chains. Then large grocery stores are not always meeting standards, but the small markets and especially the convenience stores have a lot of stores that are poor quality and are marginal quality. The other stores that are listed on here on the right are sometimes the dollar stores and the drug stores and things like that are emerging food outlets that we're seeing in a lot of these neighborhoods. So we're seeing a lot of variability, especially with the small markets and convenience. We did pull out the WIC stores to take a look at them separately, and a lot of the WIC stores are meeting quality and are approaching quality. This is really because they have strict standards for what they can carry, and because there's a lot of compliance that has to go on with WIC stores. The food stamp stores and the other stores do not have as much quality that they have to live up to. So some improvements that have come out of using the scoring and looking at the data in the neighborhoods. In Sonoma County, they developed a great city incentive pilot program where the stores to get into this program have to meet 75 points, and they also have to meet standards for each of the subcategories. Orange County has really worked on one neighborhood in particular. So they identified one neighborhood by going out and then collecting data to really just dive into that one neighborhood instead of looking at something that would go across all of the neighborhoods that they are implementing with. And now they have three healthy grocery stores that are meeting standards. So they really worked closely with those stores. Santa Clara, they had a food desert, and they got a food bank mobile van in there with fresh fruits and vegetables, which was a great boost for that neighborhood that they worked in. And then in Contra Costa County, they worked with community-based organizations, and they also worked with, I think it was the economic development in their county, and they have three Latino independent markets now that accept WIC and are close to meeting their standards. This, if you do the eCentral Learning and you look at this online, you can click on the link, but Yo San Mateo, they were on ABC7 with their corner store makeover work that they did, so they had a lot of success there. It was very cool. And the benefits to using this scoring and using CX3 is that it does, we have seen a lot of local change happening, and so it really puts the local groups and the local data on the forefront of obesity prevention. All of our tools and methods are standardized, and we've seen a lot of these health departments use this to get other funding, so it's quite exciting. This just shows you our Journal of Nutrition Education and Behavior publication. If you really want to dive into the scores and take a look at them, they're all part of this research article that came out in a supplement covering findings from the Network for a Healthy California that was just put out in July and August. So this talks a little bit about the reliability of the tool and the findings that we got from that, and then all of the store scoring. So that's it. Any questions?
Community organizations say, well, we're working in the street work, so that they gave them some type of dollar. And the answer, I guess, is yes.
They chose to do it. But most of them, if they did have funding to support these community-based organizations and pay them to do it, they did. Like they had one of a couple of them have used Promotoras, and they did have an incentive for them to do the survey work. Several of these local health departments have worked with youth, and they have done that because it's been part of their community service projects that they have to do for school. And or they've worked with an after-school program, and so they've had things that they were required to do as part of these after-school or school programs, and so now that there wasn't anything exchanged there because it was part of a community service piece that they had to do. But we've seen some interesting things happen with youth, and that's another really cool thing about the survey is it's user-friendly, that it's easy enough to fill out that youth and teens can actually fill it out and be trained to use it.
And so then the other question is, it could maybe be a future session but when I look at some place, especially like Walgreens, that now, is touting itself as, going to have, fresh food. And so I don't know what's inherent in how you're grading some place like that, or if that's sort of the next stage, is so great. Have bananas that are well priced, and they have oranges that are well priced, but they also have bags of candy that are, two 24-ounce bags of candy for $3, and they have, the case of Gatorade that's $3, and the bottle of water is more, so if you're looking at this, yes, they have the offering,
mm-hmm.
but they're also, and the CVS Walgreens bought Duane Reade, and they're running a bar in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And they've also created their own beer. So it's like $2.50 for a six-pack. So I'm wondering if that's going to come into play somewhere.
In the survey, we do have them look at the marketing around the checkout, and that's product placement as well around the checkout, and also on the doors and windows of the exterior of the building. So they do look at unhealthy marketing cues as well and product placement. But there's a little bit of a limit to what we can do because, if you want to do something that's like really extensive, we talked about the NEMS a few minutes ago. That is a very extensive tool if you want to really dive deep. This is really just looking at kind of overall and a little bit broader. I mean, we do look at the prices of fresh fruits and vegetables, but I think that the local health departments really wanted to come at it from a positive side of things. But we do capture a little bit of the marketing around the checkout and then on the front of the.
That could be sort of, the next product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we encourage them to add things on. If they want to collect more data, we just go do it. Do what you want to do. But there's also limits to what they can do with the funding source as well. So we have to be cognizant of that. So.